we're getting close to getting what we need as far as, you know, for the year. I might drive one more batch, but the rest of it's going to go to make juice. It's always really messy. And to get messy in the kitchen all up. She busted at me all the time because I make such a mess in there. But tomato juice, that's my favorite, fresh tomato juice. So I'm going to, I'll focus on that next. And, you know, that'd normally be gone before winter gets here. I just, you know, I love it. Every morning for breakfast, that's my favorite.
I can't blame you for that, not at all. I enjoy a good tall glass of tomato juice as well. But I'm going to have to try drying some. I haven't tried that. Do you have a dehydrator, or you just lay them out in the sun?
Lay them out in the sun. You got to be mindful of the yellow jackets. Normally, you know, put them into some kind of box with a clear lid. You put saran wrap over it, you know, in the heat of the day. But you got to find a way to get that moisture out of there. But I do have a dehydrator, but I also use an oven. The oven does a whole lot better. So I got a piece of screen wire, you know, that goes on the old kitchen door, you know, screen door. And you need to put them on that, because when they dry, they'll stick. And you take that screen wire and just roll it, and it just, you know, peels them right off. But if you're gonna try that, I'll give you a little trick, little tip here. Put some salt on them. That salt will pull the moisture out, and put some pepper on them while they're wet. And then dry them with that salt and pepper on them, and that pulls it down into the dry portion of the tomato. So you got your salt and your pepper already, you know, already there. But you know, not something you want to eat by yourself. But boy, it sure is good in a salad, or you know, some kind of soup stock. If you know what I mean.
Well, I'm gonna try that. See what happens. Don't never hurt to try something new every once in a while. But Joy's gonna can some soup, you know, tomato soup, and then she's gonna make some more tomato sauce. She fixed a lot of that last year. I think we got maybe a jar or two of that left. But anytime she's fixing, you know, like lasagna or something of that nature that calls for tomato sauce, she uses what she cans instead of going to the store and getting it, and then she likes it a whole lot better that way. So, but she puts it up, all, you know, just whole tomatoes, and then she makes some soup mix out of it, and then tomato sauce, and she talked about making some tomato paste, but I don't know about that. That stuff's kind of thick. But if she wants to do it, I'll help her as best I can, and we'll go from there. But all I've got out there in the garden this year is the tomato plants, and they're loaded out there still. And I've got three okra plants that came up, and if I get any of that okra off of them, I'm going to enjoy that. If not, I'll let it go to seed, and I'll have those seeds for next year.
Okay, well, let me know how that works out. I also dried, I don't know, 7-8 pounds of peppers. We've got 10 pepper plants out here. Why daddy plants so many, I don't know. But jalapenos, some kind of long Texas, long something or another, I forget what it is. No bales, but I'll dry them, split them down the middle. Coffee grinder when they're dry. We got to be real brittle. And mix that in with store-bought black pepper. Because no store-bought black pepper don't have anything to it, you know. So I'll add a little bit of that to the black pepper in it. That zings it up a little bit. But I've got plenty of peppers if you need any. And I'm thinking added some to the tomato soup too. Not a lot, because family don't like things hot. I do, but they don't, so I have to keep things toned down a little bit.
DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KO4NUE, Mr. Chad over there in Campobello. Well, that sounds real good, Chad. What was I going to say? Oh, the peppers. You might do like old Ray used to do. Towards the end of the growing season, he'd always go out there and pull a whole bunch of peppers and make his own hot sauce. And I don't know what kind of peppers he had, but he had some up there. But I put just a little bitty drop on my finger and stuck it to my tongue. I handed him the bottle back, and I said, I need a glass of milk. And he said, for what? I said, I'm burning up over here. He just laughed at me. But, if you put it on, chicken or something like that, just shake a little bit out or put it in hamburger. It had some heat to it, but it added a real good flavor, and it wasn't too terribly hot. But by itself, boy, I tell you what, it was murder.
Hot stuff. Me and Chris both, we go out to eat sometimes, and we always get something hot. But like I said, my family, they just can't tolerate it. But at any rate, the other thing I was going to tell you too was started on my antenna today, and I got mixed up in fiberglass again. So I've got it in my left eye, and I've got three more radials to go tomorrow. So I'm gonna hopefully get this thing done, and I can move on to, try to test it out, see how it works.
I hate that you got that fiberglass in you, especially in your eye. That stuff is terrible. But hopefully you'll get it all finished up, and it's going to work great. I'm sure it will, because I know you and the way you take your time and the way you do things. But, well, you're a little bit like me. If you're trying to do something and you make it a certain way, you got it in your mind how you want it to look, how you want it to perform, and it don't, you throw it down and stomp around and carry on like a crazy person, and then you go back to it and fix what's wrong with it. I don't know if you do that or not, but every once in a while I'll do that. I don't do it quite so much anymore, trying to mellow out a little bit. But don't get that fiberglass in your eyes. If you go back down and work on it tomorrow.
I'll be a little bit more careful. This stuff is the fiberglass poles from, DX Engineering or anything like that, they're just so expensive. Me and Anna were at Lowe's the other day, and they had one of those extendable paint roller sticks. 10 foot or whatever, They had them on sale for $18. So I bought one for the fiberglass tube on it. And when I got it home, the 10-foot section of fiberglass tube, well, on the inside of it, there's a 9-foot section of 3/4-inch aluminum tube, all for $18. So there's a quad, and then there's a Yagi, all in one for $18. And the radials for the quad, Lowe's has got these driveway markers.
Take a can of clear spray paint or something like that, and and spray over that fiberglass before you start messing with it. Got to stick it down a little bit so it don't float around quite so much. I know that when you drill it, it's going to, you're going to have some shavings and that sort of stuff, but at least you wouldn't have to deal with it floating around in free space when you tried to work on it if it was coated with something. That's just a suggestion.
I thought about getting a vacuum cleaner up, but it's got some kind of, I thought it had some kind of plastic stuff mixed in with it. So when I drilled it, it just, you know, came out like plastic, you know, in a spiral. And I thought, oh, well, that's not going to be bad. This stuff's a little different, you know. But evidently not. But, I'll get it under control. I'll get it finished up maybe tomorrow. But,
I got was you'll maybe finish it up tomorrow, and then the audio went down, and it was kind of sounded like you were keying the mic and just you're not saying anything and mashing it again, and you know, I mean, it was keying the repeater up, but it was even dropping out of the repeater, so I don't know if it's radio or something wrong with the repeater up there on the mountain, but I hope you get it all fixed up tomorrow there, old.
I'm sure it was, I'm sure it had something to do with the repeater, but anyway, all I said was 73, tell Miss Joy we said hello, be safe, and be careful in this heat. Good luck with the tomatoes, and we'll talk at you later. KO4NUE, I'm clear.
Okay, buddy, yeah, that must have been the repeater, because you were solid as a rock that time. You and Miss Anna have a great evening, what's left of it. Y'all take care, and I'll talk to you a little bit later. Enjoyed it there, young man. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
Net control. E4, Hotel India, W4HI, Seneca. One announcement.
QM Roy, hang on just a minute. Let me recognize these. I'd like to say good evening to W4HI down there in Seneca. I can't remember your name, and you didn't give it to me. Give me your name, please.
Hi, Pat. Well, we've been back a year and a half, and we're finally living in our new home here in south of Seneca, and we're operating from our home station finally. So this is it. Last move. W4HI, Bruce, B-R-U-C-E.
I'm going to recognize Mike, AK4HR, HT Portable, down there in Simpsonville tonight. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Mike. Sounding good on the HT. Take care of that little puppy before it rains. Bruce, was that your announcement about you getting everything set up at the new home place, or have you got another announcement for us?
Announcement. After 1.5 years of being up here, we're finally settled. Now we just got to put some antennas up for HF, but we'll be doing that.
Well, you're not quite settled in yet. You ain't got your HF antennas up, but you're getting close. Appreciate you being with us, and you take care. I enjoyed it. KY4QM, Mr. Roy, go ahead.
Apparently, I busted in again. I'm still learning this stuff. What was your call sign name so I can log it down here?
All right, Roy, my call is Kilo India 4 Delta Oscar Sierra, KI4DOS. And There'll be a different net controller on here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. That will be Mr. Matt, WG4MC. He should be calling the net tomorrow night. But come back as often as you can, over. Again there, Roy, I didn't get that last one.
Anyways, I covered you up.
Yeah, go ahead there, Roy.
I covered you up trying to get your name.
Parts tonight there, young man.
Negative.
You come back tomorrow night, and like I said, it'll be a different net controller. We'll go on down here to Mr. Ken, KA2AXQ, over at Pickens. Ken, what have you been up to today, there, young man?
Well, not much, Gary. This medicine that I'm on, I can't do hardly anything. I can just barely walk from one room to the other with a cane. But I just wanted to tell you, when the groundhogs eat the leaves off your squash plants and squash and cucumbers, they die. I was hoping they wouldn't die, because we just got a little spot that's probably 3 foot by 3 foot, and that's all I could rototill up. And then we got another place across the other side of the yard with our tomatoes, and our tomatoes are about the size of a golf ball, but they're not red yet, so we're going to leave them out there and see if they grow. We didn't weed it, so it looks like a fence for a garden. Looks like a food forest. There's a guy on YouTube, Edible Acres, and I've never seen such a mess in my whole life. It's his, he's got a nursery. Now let me let this reset. Nursery where he sells plants and stuff like this. But I think, I don't know how all the plants grew there. A plane must have been going over, dropped a bunch of seeds out by accident, because he's got, in one section of his yard, or he doesn't believe in mowing grass. Very seldom do you ever hear him talking about mowing grass. They dig it up, rototill it up, and plant vegetables there. But anyway, I just thought I'd let you know that about the groundhog eating plants.
Okay, Ken. Well, I appreciate that. That's always good information to have. You were talking about your tomatoes being about the size of a golf ball. We bought two Better Boy plants, and or Big Boys or something out of them, something like that. Anyway, we bought two of them, and one of those turned out with great big tomatoes, and the other one had golf ball sized tomatoes. And the rest of ours are Roma tomatoes. Joy likes to can those real well. They can up really pretty, and she uses them in a lot of different stuff. But, you know, our tomatoes, I got two double handfuls of the golf ball size ones yesterday, and they will turn red. And then, of course, we had a cherry tomato plant up on the, it was in a pot up on the back deck, and we'd go out there and get those, and they were just a little bit bigger than a grape, and boy, they were really good. But we'll have to see how the rest of them go. But I was just letting you know that I bought two of the, it was either Better Boy or something like that, and one of them turned out to be little bitty tomatoes. So I don't know if the nursery's got things mixed up, or if they got mixed up at the place we bought them. But anyway, that's that tune, I guess.
Well, I made some spaghetti sauce one year up in New York. We had a garden 2 years, I think. The way I made it is, you know, I got all the tomatoes and put them in the pot and everything. And I had a spice rack, a two-shelf spice rack from Walmart. And I put a little bit of spices in, and then I'd smell it. And then I put a little more spices in, and I'd smell it. And when I got it to smell like an authentic Italian restaurant, then I knew I had a good sauce. And you know, that was the best taste of spaghetti sauce I ever ate. And I couldn't duplicate it again if I tried.
You sound like my mother-in-law. She's passed on now, but very few things I saw her measure. You know, she'd go over there and she'd either taste test it or smell it or whatnot. Now, her pound cake recipe that she gave to Joy, she measured stuff on it. But anything else she was cooking, I'd never see her out with a measuring cup or some, you know, a teaspoon, you know, the little measuring spoons. She didn't do that. She did it that way, you know, and it always turned out good. So, maybe that's the way we need to start cooking, Ken, you know, to just smell it and taste it and decide if we like it. If we do, we'll leave it alone.
When I'm cooking something, my wife will come over and she'll stand, like, off to the side behind me, like, as if I didn't know she was there. And she'll watch what I do. And if she thinks I'm putting in too much salt or pepper or something like this, boy, she'll let me know in a heartbeat. She'll come stop it over to me and say, don't put that much in there. You're going to ruin it, over.
I have that problem here at the house. And the reason I don't is when I cook, my wife enjoys what I fix. But she hates the mess that I make. Of course, I go in there and clean it up, but I make a terrible mess. And she, the way she cooks, she dirties up a frying pan and she'll throw it in the sink and wash it while she's cooking something else. I don't do that. I leave all the pots and pans all over everywhere, and I do make a mess. I'll admit to that. But when I put something on the table, it's all hot at the same time. Of course, she can do it too, but I don't know how she does it. I don't know how she keeps the stuff warm. But anyway, I don't have that problem with her looking over my shoulder.
She just doesn't understand how men cook. I make a mess too. And she'll... right in the middle of cooking something, you know, she'll come over and say, don't put that much of salt or pepper or whatever I'm putting in there. You're not supposed to do it that way. And I turn around and walk away and leave her with it. Then she has to clean up, over.
I guess that would work too. I think if I did that, I would not fare well. I might be my head might meet that iron frying pan. I don't want that to happen.
That's affirmative. Not nowadays anywhere. Anyways, with the patterns they have on the bottom of the frying pans, you know, the little squares and stuff. Anyway, I'm going to let you go, Gary. It's running on 11 o'clock here. Well, it's at 11 minutes, headed towards 12. So I'm going to jump off here and let you go for the night. So God bless you, my friend. Thank you for running the net. And we will talk to you later, 73s. Okay, A2AXQ, back to net control.
You take care over there. Next time I'm over in Pickens, I'm gonna holler at you on the phone. And if you're at home, I'm gonna come by to see you and sit over there and visit with you for a little bit. I think we would both enjoy that tremendously. You take care. Have a great evening. God bless you, and we'll talk at you later. 73, my friend. Do we have any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Missed anyone for comments? Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS.
KI4DOS. KW4TW, Kilo Whiskey 4 Tango Whiskey. Michael in Gastonia.
I'd like to say good evening to KW4TW, Mr. Michael up there in Gastonia. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Michael. Good signal into the repeater from Gastonia tonight. Old Danny normally checks in with me, but I hadn't heard from him tonight. But y'all take care up there in the big city of Gastonia. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. I'm about to wrap it up tonight. I'm going to submit my net report, and then we'll finish closing the net out. There was a station that came in there just as I submitted my net report to the repeater. Station, go ahead.
QM, it's just me again, Button, and I just wanted to wish you a good night, 73.
Good night to you. You come back as often as you can. We'd love to have you each and every night if you can make it. You take care over there in Sparkburg, and hopefully we'll hear you again tomorrow night. 73, my friend. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.